A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Hope you had a nice long weekend. We were off yesterday, of course. And if you want, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. By the way, we got something new implemented on the CARM site. If you go to the home page, I guess you could do it on your phone, too. You could check it out. We have the video of me being on the air here. Going on to the CARM homepage, so you can check that out. We are still modifying things. We're going to be moving some stuff around. We're still working on things and feedback and stuff like that. It's going to take us another few weeks. That's just what it is. So please continue to give us feedback, what you like, what you don't like, what works, doesn't work, etc. We are working on that. We're also writing new articles. I'm doing stuff on social justice. I released an article a few days ago, the Christian's obligation, when to obey and disobey the government. And this may become more apropos, particularly lately, when we realize that they just... calm yourself. Think happy thoughts. So a transgender person is now going to be appointed as the director or whatever it is of health. And so let me read to you a verse. This is going to... I'm just going to read it. Who cares? That's what the Bible says. It says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. So this is Isaiah 5:20-23. And look, I'm not your average day preacher in that, if I was up in the pulpit preaching all the time, it wouldn't be. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and all you got to do is put more money into the pot and things will be blissful. You know, I've never preached like that. I don't believe in that stuff, which is out of the book of Extramenticus. And but unfortunately, a lot of pastors and stuff teach that because they want people to be comforted and just come into the church and sit down on their hands and not do anything, go out and get served at a restaurant. Now, I stand in opposition to the idea of the Christian doing nothing. I've never been one who believed that as a Christian we're to sit around and just pray and hope things get better. They don't. You have to pray and do. You have to pray and move. You've got to pray and go. And what's happening is because of, and as I'm doing my research, I'm learning more stuff, the social gospel error, heresy, that is creeping into the Christian church, has been in the Christian church, which is basically the idea that it's a redefinition of the true gospel message of Jesus. It seeks to make the Christian message's main goal to solve social problems, racism, class distinction, economic inequality, and things like that. That's not what the main focus of the gospel is. Now, the gospel is to save people's lives, and society changes because of those issues. And yes, we are to work for justice and equity and things like that. But when the Christians have failed to be out there as leaders in the community, the unbelievers are the ones who have stood up and, so to speak, stood in the gap. And even though God is looking for those to stand in the gap who are godly, what has happened is the ungodly have gotten in, and because the Christians are, in my opinion, I'm going to make enemies, in my opinion, too many Christians are preaching mamby-pamby gospel messages about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus standing at the door of your heart, asking permission for you and your wisdom to let him come in and stuff like that. And I just think that's ludicrous and unbiblical, ungodly, and even sinful. We are, as Christians, obligated to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are obligated to preach and teach the truth. That doesn't mean we go out there with our fists in the air and we defy everything. It's not what we're supposed to do. If you're a mom raising kids and your job is to be at home if you can and raise the best kids for the glory of God as is possible. And, I know not all moms can do that. I get that. But our goal as Christians is to work for the expansion of the kingdom of God, to tithe, to help people, to do what we can and be united. But unfortunately, what's happening is too many Christians are so disunited and at each other's throat because you don't believe in pre-trib rapture, or you believe in post-trib rapture, or Calvinism is evil, or non-Calvinism is evil, or whatever it might be. And so people have taken their eyes off of Christ and his admonition and his command to make disciples of all nations. And so what we're doing now is guarding our own like a sports team. And the leftist sports, the rightist sports, the Baptist sports team, the Calvinist sports team, the charismatic, non-charismatic sports teams, we compete against each other, and then we only rejoice when our particular team wins and is triumphant in something. And so we don't want to work with what we call those people over there. And because of it, the enemy has divided the Christian church. We're no longer effective in our society. And as we can see, we have a stolen election. We have transgenderism being promoted to the highest levels of authority in our government. We have a Marxist vice president coming in pretty soon, Kamala Harris, who will probably end up being president when they finally recognize how, let's say, inable Biden really is. And then we're going to have an unelected Marxist why is this happening? Because the Christians haven't been doing their job. That's right, Christians. Christians aren't doing their jobs. They've got to be on our knees praying and standing on our feet doing. You don't just get on our knees praying and say, okay, I did my part, now I can go sit and watch TV. No. You're supposed to be calling people, and if we need to, politely march. If we need to, we voice our opinions. We vote right. We do what we can, write emails and say, you know, the things that we need to do. And we need to be involved, but too many Christians think that what we're supposed to do is just turn the other cheek, do nothing, sit down, and we're to just not be irritating. Well, let me tell you, go take a glance through the New Testament and read how Paul was going out there, called by Jesus Christ, sent by Jesus Christ, and the missionary journeys that he went through, and the riots they even followed. Not that we want riots, it's just that people don't like the truth, and when they don't like the truth, they're going to come after you. And not everybody's called to go do what Paul the Apostle did. I got that. But the thing is, we're supposed to be praying for and financially supporting those people who do go do that kind of stuff. Because not everybody can do that. And I get that. That's fine. But as Christians, we have got to be united. And I think every Christian in this country, real Christian, not the Catholics, not the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, the real Christians who trusted in Jesus Christ, God in flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead 3 days later, and trust in him alone for the forgiveness of their sins, not by faith and baptism or faith and sacraments or faith and anything else you got to do to keep yourself right with the infinitely holy God. We, who are the true believers, need to be on our knees asking God to send us and to use us and to fix us and to make us and to change us. And then when we're all looking for the same thing, then we'll all hear the Spirit of God moving in our hearts, and we'll be moved to where we need to be. Maybe God will raise up somebody, maybe he won't raise up somebody, but we have got to be the ones who are going to stand in the gap. That is what we have to do. Let me read this to you. Ezekiel 22:30. God says, 29:30-31, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery. They have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed a sojourner without justice. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap for me, for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Thus, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. So, God is saying that in Ezekiel, that was 29 through 30, what God is doing is looking for people. Looking, he was talking to Israel, saying, Israel, I'm looking for you, my people, to do what is right before God, before me. That's what God was doing. Who's going to stand up against unrighteousness and stand up for justice? I'm looking for people to do that. And I found no one. Therefore, I brought their way upon their own heads. If we don't stand up, Christians, then we're going to get what we've allowed to occur. Biden as president, a stolen election, a Congress, Senate, House who don't believe in upholding the true values of the Constitution. We're not going to find that in truth. What we are going to find instead is stuff like the constitutional right to kill the babies in the womb, the taxpayers subsidizing 24% of all abortions, state funding of abortion under Medicaid, or homosexuality being approved and defended by the government. The military holds the first annual marking of Gay Pride Month. Since 2012, the American government has spent $41 million specifically to promote gay rights globally. The federal marriage amendment to define marriage between one woman and one man failed in 2015, failed to get through Congress. There's not enough people in Congress to do what's right. Supreme Court affirms constitutionality of gay marriage, same-sex marriage legalization by country. I got these articles on my website. Because our country has turned its back against God, has sought to kill the unborn, has sought to promote and legalize and glorify homosexuality. Because it has done that, it has promoted pornography. It has let the children be brainwashed by liberalism in schools and gone and even promoted unbiblical governmental system like socialism and communism, Marxism, fascism, which is becoming alive and well. We have people in our government who are censoring the conservatives. I was reading articles today, and people are saying that this really got me going. That this one guy is a cult expert. I know cults inside out, backwards, forward. We've been studying them for decades. And this cult expert they had on CNN said that the Trump followers are like cultists, need to be deprogrammed. This is the kind of stuff. They are thinking like this. They're being promoted like this. That means the leftist wacko morons are in control. Do you think they're going to stop at just a news item? They're going to come after us, folks. Yeah, I'm trying to make you be aware. I'm trying to make you think. I've always been able to see that when we sit and do nothing, the wicked are going to prosper, and the Christians need to be standing in the gap. They need to rise up. And the first way to rise up, the first act in that, is to kneel before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We need to ask Him to reveal to us our own sins, that we might repent of our own sins in our own lives and seek sanctification before God, and not allow ourselves to see those things on TV which we ought not see and we ought not participate in. And we go to church and we tithe and we support the pastor. We ask God to reveal in our own hearts where we need to begin. And then ask God to change us and to send us and to use us and to forgive us for our apathy and complacency in this country and not carrying out the commission that Jesus Christ Himself commanded us to do. Now, we've become too comfortable with our phones, our automatic remote TVs and GPS-guided cars and every other convenience that we have. We put our faith and our hope in there. But God often lets persecution come to cause the people of God to finally bend their knees and say, Lord, I've got nothing left. It's all falling apart around me. I look to You. This is what God has always wanted, that we would have hearts like that. And if we don't do it voluntarily and we allow the wicked to prosper, then God's going to allow what we have let to happen come upon our own heads. And the weight of it will break us and bring us to our knees. And then we'll lift our hearts up to God. And then revival and change can come. But it must begin in the household of God. That's what has to happen. That's what has to happen. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have one open line. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get to James from New York. James, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I was having a discussion with some people about hell and annihilationism, and I found your website pretty helpful.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. I was looking at the your entry on Genesis 3:22-24 about, God saying the man must not stretch out his hand and eat from the tree of life and live forever. Okay. And I was just hoping you could just clarify a little bit more, what you believe, that says and how that that'd be different from the annihilationist interpretation of that passage, you know?
Well, not, they assume, the annihilationists assume that one of the, or that we do not by nature have an eternal essence. Well, that once God has created us, that part of the image of God is our continuation. As God has an aspect of his eternality, they would deny that that is something that is transmitted to us, not that it's something inherent in us, but that God in his work grants that to us, no matter who we are, because we're all made in his image. So the annihilationist just says, no, it's not an inherent aspect. They have to demonstrate that it's not there. And they're going to say, well, man, you've got to demonstrate it, that it is. Well, it's very simple. We have so many other communicable attributes of God. And we know that he will sustain, from their perspective even, the saved forever. Why can't he do that for the damned forever? And and I know their arguments. They say, well, the word isn't used this way, blah, blah, blah. But I understand their arguments. And so this is what they're going to hold to. And so when theologians have looked at Romans, Genesis 3:22 on the issue of take from the tree of life, eat and live forever, let's just say there's some discussion on it, and they're not exactly sure what it means. And I'm not really sure what it means either, but I have an idea, and I can just give you an opinion idea, that if they'd have eaten of that fruit, of that tree, they would have remained in that state of fallenness without redemption in the resurrected body. And they would have been in that, and that was to be prevented. That's not what God wants. So if Adam and Eve had lived in the garden and had not sinned, they would have been fine. It would have been no fallenness in them. But after they sinned, then they were fallen. If they had eaten of that tree, they would have been in that fallen state, in that condition, permanently. And that's what I hold to. And so God did not want that, barred them from the garden, and then the redemptive work of Christ coming later on. Okay?
Hey, that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate it, Matt.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's denying them the tree of life made them have the bodily, you know, the bodily death. Not as the annihilationists would say, it would result in them everything just not existing, but he did deny them the tree to give right. them at least a bodily death so they could have the resurrection. And
right,
is that's basically the what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, basically. Which reminds me, I was in a chat room a few weeks ago, and there is a group of people who are annihilationists who go in there, and I was in there or one next to it or something, at any rate. And I found out that this group of annihilationists, who are apparently well-known on the Internet, I asked them, how many of you have been reading my articles? And none of them had. I thought it was fascinating that none of them had read any of my articles against annihilationism. In other words, they closed their eyes and plugged their ears. Nay, 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 it'll go away, it'll go away. But there is one guy who's supposed to be writing responses to all my articles. I'm looking forward to that, because when he does that, I'm going to take a few of them and I'm going to correct his errors. But anyway, yeah, it's more of an idol to a lot of people's heart and mind, and that they measure Christianity by do you hold to annihilationism or universalism, or some people even do it with Calvinism or Baptistism or cessationism, and they measure other people buy those things, and they should not do that. And so it's a fault that's occurring in Christianity. All right?
Gotcha. Division. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, man. God bless. All right, let's get to Seth from California. Seth, welcome. You're on the air, man.
Hey, Matt. Thank you for taking my call, and sure. Thank God for your ministry. It's been really edifying to me and my wife, so I want to say
praise
that.
Praise God.
So my question, I recently heard a Q&A in a church here in Southern California, and the congregation had asked the pastor if it would be appropriate with the changes we've seen in the country, you know, basically the question was, at what point do we start to look at other states, you know, if they needed to flee because of, say, the danger or whatnot. And the pastor went to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 17, you know, where Paul is talking about let each person lead a life that the Lord has assigned to him. You know, if you've if you've been circumcised, don't seek to remove the marks of circumcision. You know, if you're married, don't seek to, you know, leave your spouse. And the pastor used that section of scripture to, as I guess, a pretext to say that we should not be leaving California based on, I guess, just the change we are seeing. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, if you think that was, just maybe the correct usage of that passage.
Well, I left California, from Southern California, about 16 years ago. I have no plans to move back, and I don't want to move back to the People's Republic of Fascist California, all right?
Sure. Trust me, it's a common conversation for us out here.
Oh, yeah. I've got a brother down there still, and he says it's just getting crazy. It's getting bad, and people are leaving because the wacko leftists are doing their socialist thing, and people don't want it. So this, what it says in 1 Corinthians 7 is important. You have to go to verse 26. I think that this is good in view of the present distress. That's what it says. That is good for a man to remain as he is. What Paul is doing is talking about a persecution issue. This is why he wrote it, in that context and in that issue. And it was a teaching on marriage. Because that's what it says. It's in verse 12, don't divorce. In verse 14, unbelieving husband. Verse 17, the Lord has assigned to each one as God has called. Let's walk and has directed all the churches. And, you know, then he says uncircumcised to remain and don't worry about things like that. But he says each one is to remain in the condition in which he's called. Now concerning virgins. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about marriage here primarily.
Sure.
And that's what's going on. So I don't think he applied it properly.
Yeah, and then one follow-up question. I know there's a passage, I believe it's Proverbs 22, verse 3, that says that, you know, the prudent man will see danger coming and hide himself, while I think the foolish man will basically, do nothing and suffer for it or something like that. Are you familiar with that passage? And if so, do you think that would be maybe a more appropriate verse to use in the context of maybe someone considering leaving California?
I wouldn't consider it. I'd get out.
Thank you. No, I appreciate your time, Matt.
So where do you live in SoCal?
Actually, right on the border of L.A. County and Orange County, so pretty much right next to Whittier.
Oh, up there, Whittier. Oh, you know where Turnbull Canyon is there, right?
I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I've heard of that area.
Yeah, that's where I almost bit it. I did bite it, actually, in 1976. Oh, no. Drove my car off a cliff. Long story short, used to live in Buena Park and Fullerton, Anaheim, Bellflower,
that's right.
Corona, all that stuff. So, yeah, reminiscing.
Got it.
All right, buddy. Where's the break?
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, God bless. All right. Hey, folks, two open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's see, next longest waiting person. Ooh, this is going to be interesting. Is Patrick from Raleigh, North Carolina? Patrick, you're on the air. I hit the button. Patrick, waiting for you.
Yes, sir. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing all right. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, man. Hey, just want to know I love your show. Two things. Question. I am on the Republican platform. Not necessarily a Trump fan, because I thought he was very unethical and very immoral with his language and his demeanor, but I am of the conservative platform. Now, when the show started, you said that the election was stolen. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some concrete evidence that it was stolen? And second thing is,
let me do one.
Word
one
tells
at a time.
Us to correct the brother.
What one at a time? What's concrete evidence?
Second thing is,
what does that mean? Concrete evidence. What is that?
It proof that the election was stolen.
Okay, proof.
What proof do you have since you made that statement? I mean, you give us proof about the text and
okay,
the scriptures.
I got you.
What proof do you have that the election was stolen and nobody else had?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you done any study or research on the web on events, videos, testimonies of people being prevented from voting, dead people voting, votes counted twice, people not let in to run checks on how the voting was going? Have you done any research on that?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't, but I'm going off what the Supreme Court and other lawyers and okay. Judicialism have dropped the case of saying there's no evidence I mean, okay. Even Lindsey Graham said, can you give us
okay.
one
Excuse me.
Piece
Excuse
of
me.
Evidence?
Excuse me.
Yes,
so
sir.
You need to do your own research. Go look. All right. And during the break, I just typed in a little bit of, you know, a search for that. I found a whole bunch of stuff. From
okay. Well, I'm driving, so
okay. Yeah, don't do it right now. But, you know, just go home.
Right.
Just go home. Evidence that the election was stolen. That's what I typed in. Man, pages of stuff are coming up. There are videos out there.
Okay, but
There are videos, and more than just one, where people were not letting other people come in to check on the voting procedures. They have film of, and I've seen the film of people being ushered out of a building because there's a water problem or something problem, and then while they're out, people started feeding in pamphlets into the voting machines. There's thousands and thousands of people voted who were dead, and they went for Biden. I mean, come on, just do some research.
On Fox News, they said there was only two people. There were only two people
no,
that
no,
were dead.
No, I don't buy it. I don't trust Fox News. Okay, I don't trust Fox News. And
you don't trust news, but you trust some video.
Yeah, when I see it with my own eyes, I trust that. I don't trust what someone says. I want to see it, and videos are the ways to do that. And when you hear about all kinds of stuff like this from all kinds of people, then, you know, something's going on. And the left needs to understand something. What they're doing is making a great many people very angry. Millions and millions of people don't trust the election process. The people that I know, we had a discussion about it recently. Nobody I know trusts the election, and nobody believes that we'll have any fair elections anymore. I'm not the only one who holds that, and many people hold it, and I believe millions hold it. What do you think's going to happen if the left keeps pushing like this?
That's the second part of my question.
Yeah.
I mean, second topic. Yeah. Sometimes I think your language that you use towards non-believers or people who are spiritually is divisive. When you call them morons and wackos, we should understand that they're lost. So instead of saying they're morons and wackos,
we'll put you on hold because you won't let me talk in my own show. What I say is the leftist, the far leftist wacko morons, the leftist ones, that's what I say, who do these evil things. And I'm not going to stop saying it. If you don't like it, don't listen. Okay?
That's not the fruit of the Spirit.
It isn't? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Tell me.
No, but you say if you don't like it, don't listen. Jesus Christ, we're supposed to love our enemies. They are right. They're our spiritual enemies. They're lost.
Okay.
So to criticize and beat them down instead of loving them, and hey, let me explain to you why you shouldn't believe this way. So what you're doing, you're planting seeds in your listeners who are not spiritually mature, and it's going to keep division. And the fact that this is not our permanent home. Our home is in heaven for those that are truly saved. So to get so angry about this world who's in the White House, some of your listeners, and sometimes you may even be lost on what this thing is about. Christ knows what's going on. God knows everything. So no matter who's in the White House, our home is in heaven, not here. So I'm not going to get so excited and so angry because an election doesn't go my way. My hope is in heaven,
hold on, hold on, hold on. Are we to follow the okay. So... And since he did what the leftists do, don't want to hear the rebuttal, I'll give you one, all right? This is what Jesus says. You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, Matthew 7:4. Matthew 23:15, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says in Matthew 23:16-17, you blind guides, you fools and blind men. He said, I'm skipping a lot of stuff, Matthew 23:33, you serpents, you brood of vipers. Mark 12:33-40, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Luke 11:39, you foolish ones. In Luke 11:43, you're like concealed tombs. In Luke 11:52, those who entering into the kingdom, you hindered. Mentions hypocrisy in Luke 12:1. He says in John 8:44, you're your father the devil. He says in John 8:43, you dishonor me. In John 8:55, he says to people, I shall be a liar like you if I do what you know you say. So Jesus does have harsh things to say about people. Now, folks, look, we need to be at peace with all people as much and as long as possible. But what do we do when the left, when anybody, it's not just the left, and the far right too, what do we do when they trample the Constitution under feet and they start threatening to come after us? Now, I don't know if you guys follow this stuff. I do. And the left, the far left, is threatening to go after Trump supporters. I read articles of how they want to, you know, I didn't vote for Trump the first election. The second one I did, okay? But they want to go after the Trump supporters, and they're calling them cultists, saying that they need to be reprogrammed. There's been mentioning of taking their children away, talking about saying that they can't have businesses. This is fascism. And it's happening more and more. And the left isn't doing anything about it in the news media. They shouldn't be promoting that kind of stuff. They should say, no, they have the right to believe what they want and vote for who they want, not be penalized for it. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, if people vote for Biden, hey, they can vote for Biden. I support their right to do that. They want to vote, that's it. They have that right to do it. I don't agree with them. But they have that right. And I would not say, well, because you voted for that person, you can't have a job, or you can't be, get a loan on your business, which is what they're doing. This is the kind of thing that needs to be called out and identified. Folks, Jesus went into the temple and overturned the temple tables. He did it. Jesus called people out on what was wrong. And if we don't do the similar thing, then what are we doing? What are we saying? Are we to lay down and do nothing? Now, as I've said before, and I'm going to say again, our first obligation is to the Lord Jesus Christ. First, pray and ask God to reveal in you, you know, and me too. I mean, it's, you know, I pray for this myself. Lord, reveal my sin that I can repent. And then send me. What do I do? But we stand up. And it's okay to call it out for what it really is. Leftist propaganda. Leftist wacko morons out there. They aren't going to come to Christ. They hate God. And only God's mercy upon them will change anything. That's what we got to pray, folks. Let's get to Janetta from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, Matt. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I give God glory for you as always. And I want to say, too, I back you up 100%. You know, the caller just said, well, heaven is not our home. I mean, this world is not our home. And that is true, it's not. But that does not mean that we're supposed to sit back and allow this to go. And I've been talking to several Christians because my spirit has been vexed. Because we're just talking about praying and we're not doing anything. If people can go out here and march against social injustice, march against, go up in the Capitol, and, or whatever the case may be, then we Christians should be marching against same-sex marriages.
Yep.
Boys, I totally agree, but we're not doing anything. And my question to you is that I wanted to ask, being that I can't, you know, get people that I know that's supposed to be Christians to start maybe marching, is there something that I could do on my own? Is it something that you could point me to maybe?
Well,
that people are doing this, because I mean, we're just sitting back and not doing nothing, and being that now that we can't worship inside a building, that has really taken a toll on us not doing anything. And I don't even hear pastors even talking about it. They have got quiet.
You and I need to be neighbors. I tell you what, hold on, we got a break. Okay, we'll get back. We'll talk about this. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Let's get back on the air with Janetta from Raleigh, North Carolina. All right. You there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
All right. So as I was saying earlier, the first thing we need to do is pray about ourselves and our repentance. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, for it is the time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And so we are obligated to look at ourselves first. That doesn't mean narcissistically. It means, Lord, in what area am I failing? In what area do I need to improve? Lord, show me my sins. This is a self-examination. Because if we want to be an instrument in the hand of God, then he's going to require of us certain levels of sanctification and dedication to him. Because we need to be strengthened in our sanctification. We're secure in our justification, but sanctification brings us strength. Because sometimes we have to do those things that are difficult. You know, stand outside in front of an abortion mill and hold a sign up. You know, I've done it. And stuff like that. But nevertheless, we pray for that. Then pray for our pastors to preach and teach the truth, that God would speak through them, and that the people would have a mind to hear as well. And then I'd recommend to see if in your local area if you can find people who are of like mind around you. And I've got those people around me. We have a group, and we're like-minded, and we talk and pray and etc. And in some of them, in our group, we have people who say, here, this is what's happening. Here's a petition you can sign. Here's a phone number you can call. Here's an email you can email about this issue, because we live in Idaho, so that things are related to us. And we'll do that. And I've left voicemails, hey, you know, vote no on this and no on that or whatever it is. And we need to vote. We need to vote. Now, the problem is that, now me, I'm a pessimist. I don't trust human nature. I believe we're fallen. And I don't trust politicians very much at all. There are some good ones out there, but for the most part, they take, well, I'm not going to say anything. And so how much is our vote being counted? Because when we have the machines that all they have to do is flip switches and stuff and put in numbers to change the total number of votes, how do we know it's being guarded? How do we know? If it's
That's
not,
right.
This is serious. And I'm not convinced. Particularly when the leftist media does not focus on these things. And things from alternative medias, I've gone and seen the videos, and the leftist says nothing about it. To me, that means they can't be trusted either. And so I'm pretty pessimistic about this, okay? I know what the Bible says. I know how bad things are going to get. This is just me. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I believe that we are obligated to fight back in a godly way. And that we can, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, too, to me, it tells me, too, that, you know, most people probably believe in these things. That's why they voted for Biden. They believe in homosexuality. They believe in killing babies. Yep. But then you have some people who voted for Biden because, you know, for tax reasons. They may not believe in homosexuality, but like you said on last week, anybody that puts a president in who believes in those kind of things, they must believe in them in themselves. And that, to me, the same sex. Now, we did have one pastor here in Raleigh, but it was some years back. He marched all the way to the courthouse, you know, against same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But he got belittled behind. I mean, it was a good thing he did. He was on CNN and everything, but people just went all against him.
Yep.
You know, and
stand for righteousness.
So
I would
like,
walk with him.
What you find out, it's not always gay people who are upset about it. It's people that are straight that get upset about this.
Yeah.
And that's what baffles me, because I'm like, if you believe in a man and woman being married, why would you get upset about a pastor marching against it when that's what he should do? Not
that's
only
right.
One pastor, any pastor.
That's right. Pastors should be doing it. Yep. And I don't see how anybody who calls themselves a Christian, who believes Jesus Christ died for their sins and that we're to be subject to the lordship of our Savior Jesus, who would then vote for anybody who supports baby killing in the womb and homosexuality. I cannot fathom how they can do that. And then these are humongous sins, according to Scripture. Humongous.
Oh,
and yet they'll sweep them under the rug so that they can have a better tax write-off. Ooh.
That's what I was trying to
Handouts.
Say, sir. I'm going to tell you, I'm really scared for the... I mean, one reason I wanted to call, too, I was just listening to on this same station where they now, even in the high schools, got it where if a young man thinks he's a girl, Yep. He can go and use your bathroom, vice versa.
Yep.
I mean, what kind of mess is that?
I know. Yeah. It's this whole thing is going bad.
I mean, and I'm like, I get scared sometimes. Like, what I mean by scared, not because I'm a Christian and I said, I'm like, God is sitting up there looking at all this stuff. And I'm like, scared what he may do, you know. Wipe us all out, even the ones that, and I know I'm just speaking of this, you know, even the ones, his chosen ones, because I know he's just seated behind all this.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Ezekiel 22, it talks about this. And so I was reading it a little bit ago. 26. 29 through 31. So Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31. Basically, the principle here is if we don't stand up and do what's right, God will let judgment come upon all of us in the nation. And I'm different than a lot of people. This doesn't come out, maybe it does on the radio. I've always been someone who fights against unrighteousness, always. I don't like to watch sports where they beat up each other. I don't like to watch anything like this. I think it's ungodly. I don't participate in it. I don't want to watch it. I don't support people, you know, in fights in high school and stuff. I remember seeing this. People would cheer them on. I don't understand that. You know, I started CARM 25 years ago because I was fighting unrighteousness. I used to go door to door. I've gone to prisons. I used to dress up like a punk or go to the beach and preach to people. I believe in doing what's right because I serve my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't understand how people can't do the same thing. I don't understand it in Christianity.
I totally agree. You know, for a long time, I didn't even watch NBA because one of the most horrific fights I ever saw, and I'm sure you're going to, when I say this, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying I'm better than you, get my point. But when Ron Artest went up in the audience some years ago, you know, now I didn't know he had mental issues. I found out later he had severe mental issues. But when he went up in that audience and was beating everybody, I didn't watch NBA for a long time.
Yeah, I don't watch any sports. I just don't. There's very little honor.
I listen to sports now.
You know, there's only one thing. We got callers waiting, but there's only one event in all of sports I remember, and it's my favorite of all events. Favorite thing is this guy from an African country who was in, came to represent his country. This is, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was, and he was swimming against world-class athletes. It might as well be me in the pool, you know? Not going to happen. And he swam in a hotel's pool. That's how he trained, and then he came to to wherever it was in the Olympics, and the gun goes off, and he jumps in the water, and everybody was out of the water already, and he wasn't even halfway down the final lap, you know, and it was pretty pathetic, because how bad he was, and yet, everybody was on their feet cheering him on, and he said later he thought they were cheering for the winner. But no, they were cheering for him. That's my favorite moment of all of sports. Because it was wonderful. It was honor. There was respect. That's what we need to see. But we don't. We see people getting traded for money. You know, there's no honor. We don't have much honor anymore. Because everybody's so narcissistic and give me what I want. No, let's serve our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's what we got
to
do.
Yeah, I'm going to say this right quick, and I know you have to get to the caller. Yeah. But when they call a basketball player king, that's really, really, really bad. Because there's only one king, and that's the King of Kings who's coming back to this earth.
That's right.
But now you got them calling basketball players king. King James. You don't do that. but then he doesn't speak against it.
I know. That's the way it was. We got to serve our Lord. That's right. Amen. Well, look, we got callers waiting. They've been waiting a long time. So I'm getting to
it. Can I ask you how can I support your call, sir? Oh, is there a website where I could give money?
Yeah, if you want, just go to carm.org/donate. C-A-R-M .org, carm.org/donate. And that should give you all the information you need. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. I wish you were my neighbor. All right.
Have a blessed.
We'll see you then. God bless. All right. Let's get over to Mike from California. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. This is my second time listening to you full way. You were broken the last time I tried to get in. And the first time I called, I asked you about QAnon because I have so many people in the family that are, you know, kind of broken up over the QAnon stuff. And I kind of consider it a false doctrine that is spreading through the church. What say you?
What I say now is I'm going to have to research it and write an article, thanks to you, because you're bugging me about it, which is a good bugging. So I remember that when you called up. And I go, okay, you know what, I'm going to look into it and see. We've had a lot of stuff going on in the past few weeks, so I'm just now being able to start doing research and writing again. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see, because there's a lot of controversy about it, and it's highly conspiratorial. So I don't know what's legit and what's not legit, and that's the problem.
The problem I have with my Christian friends who are conspiratorial, they'll say, like, Bill Clinton is a child molester, and or all.
Well, let's tell you what, let's not repeat things that we don't know, because these are the kind of things that can cause rumors. But
But what I'm trying to say is that instead of, you know, pray for your enemies, you know, don't you think that these guys, you know, could come to know Jesus? It seems like they're not having that love that hopes all things.
Anybody can, if God shows mercy on them. That's how it works.
Okay.
All right.
And since I was talking about the end times thing, what is your position? Are you preterist, pre-trib, post-trib?
Post-trib, pessimist. Post-trib, pessimistic, amillennialist.
Post-trib.
No, pre post-trib, post-tribulation rapture, amillennial.
Yes.
Okay.
Amillennial.
Yeah.
And by amillennial, you're not waiting for the thousand-year reign.
No, I believe that the term thousand by itself always occurs in a figurative context in the Bible, and that it's just a figurative number. Plus, when you go, I can give you verses I've got on it that there's a lot of evidence. But you know what? That's just my view, and I hope I'm wrong. I just want preacher rapture and Christ to come back.
Oh, me too. So I'm all over the preacher. I want it, but I don't think it's true. I tend to lean through some type of preterism.
Partial preterist. Partial preterism is within Orthodoxy. Full preterism is not. And you can call back tomorrow. Yeah. We can talk a little bit more about it. And I am sorry about that. We got to go. We're out of time, man. Okay, we got to go. Call me back tomorrow, okay? And sorry, Jamal, you waited a whole half hour. I apologize for that. Andrew from Illinois, you waited 20 minutes. Please call back tomorrow, and we can talk then, okay? The Lord bless you all. Have a great day. God bless. Bye.